time have suffered a lot of harm. Then Pasuk Zayin said, "V'samtiyas hatzaleh l'sheiris v'hanahalah l'goyotzum." I will set the tzaleah l'sheiris as a remnant, v'hanahalah the exhausted. We learned last week. We learned the Radak. The word hanahalah is subject to interpretation. It does not only mean exhausted yigia, but it also is another word for those that have been pushed away, the banished. It's a synonym for the word nidocha, v'hanidocha akabetza. Those two words, v'hanidocha akabetza, and pasuk vav, parallels what it says here, the v'hanahala, v'hanahala'a, l'goyotzum, molach Hashem aleihem b'har tzion, me'ata v'ad oylam. We did the mitzvahs, we did Rashi, we did the Radak, and the Malbim, I believe we did we do that? I don't remember, unfortunately, I'm all mixed up. Let's do the Malbim. I think we did the Malbim. Okay, let's do the Malbim. Let's even if we did the Malbim, which we reviewed very quickly, the Malbim, Pasuk Vav, back on page 485. Bayoy Mahunu Mashem Oisava Hatzalea Kvariartish, but Pasuk the Osaf Nitcheishol Unafutsos Yehuda Yikabetz, She Yisrael, She Maser Sashvatim Loina Foitsu Bepizur Godel Ben Hoamim. The Aseres Hashvatim has not been dispersed in a large in a large dispersion amongst the nations. Rak nidchu mimukoymam buhushluchu li eretz merchok v'nevad mikoymam. They have been deposited as one big group and one chunk in their location, and they disappeared. V'tzorech asif menachutz el haponim. They need to be gathered from the outside to the inside. V'alze omar oisefa hatzoleya. V'shevet Yehuda. They are the ones that have been dispersed to the four corners of the earth. They are the ones that need kibbutz. They will be ingathered. Now, he's saying over here an incredible chiddush, which is not something that we probably look at it just the opposite. Not for the Malbim. And the Malbim is, again, the Malbim is not, you know, the final word. The Malbim is a more, you know, more recent perish, and he says incredible chidushim, and what he says here is just the opposite of what the average person would think. What happened to the Aseres Hashvat? Where are they today? The assumption is they assimilated. They thoroughly assimilated into the non-Jewish world to the point where they are unrecognizable. That is the assumption. Okay, they were exiled by Melech Ashur, about 100 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were taken down to the land of Ashur, Assyria, and from there we really do not know what happened to them. We assume from there they went from one place to another place, they assimilated, they dispersed all over the world, they intermarried, and they're gone. They're long, long gone due to assimilation. And they're all over the place. Their blood, the blood of the Jewish people has been mingled meaning intermarriage throughout the entire world. On the other hand, the galus of Yehuda and Binyamin in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yechoniah and Tzidkiyah, the whole last period of time, the last 11 years, first with the galus of Yechoniah, and then the Churban and the galus of the remnant, whoever survived, they were taken down to Bavel. They stuck together, and because they stuck together in Bavel as one unit, that is why they were able to return. They were able to survive, and not all of them came back. Very small percent, in fact, came back. But those who did not come back immediately, they remained in Bavel as a group, and they survived. And maybe over time they did come back. And then when we discussed the Churban Bayis Sheni, 400, 500 years later, so that group of people, they also stuck together in Rome. And from Rome they went to Europe, to Germany and France. The Jews, the survival of Jewish people, in addition to Shabbos, in addition to all the other things that we know about, is a community. And because we stuck together as a community, that's why today the Malchus of Yehuda, the descendants of Yehuda, and Binyamin are still around. Isn't that what we assume today? Who Klal Yisrael today is by and large descendants of Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin, only because Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin stuck together through Golis, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and that's why we have a Klal Yisrael today. But the Aseres Hashvatim, who've been taken to the land of Ashur, who disappeared, the assumption is they assimilated. They assimilated throughout the entire world and they were all gone. Yet, the Malbim here takes this pasuk, he breaks into two parts, and he writes, the first part is the Osifa Hatzolea. Part two, Fahanidocha Akabetza. The first part, he says, refers to the Aseres Hashvatim. The second part, Vahanidocha Akabetza, is Yehuda and Binyamin. For Yehuda and Binyamin, the Navi selects the word Akabetza to indicate that they're dispersed far and wide. They're all over the place. And they need a kibbutz. Whereas the Malgolus of the Aseres Hashvatim, they're called Soleya. They're one big, large group of people, a chunk of people, just been plucked from Eretz Yisrael, put down in the land of Ashur. So they don't need kibbutz, they just need what's called Osifa to gather them and to pick them up. And one big plane is sending a whole fleet of planes, and everyone get on the planes and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. But everyone else, you have to go send out hunting teams to go and to investigate where could we find a Jew here, in this basement, in this country, that country. Isn't that the opposite of the way of what we assume? We look at it, we don't look at it like that. We look at it could be just the opposite. If we would say that Oseva Hatzaleh refers to Yehuda and Binyamin, and Vahanidocha Akabetza, if we can still find today any Jews who are descendants of the Aseres Hashvatim, they would be the ones that would fit into the category of Vahanidocha Akabetza.
It's not logical. The Aseres Hashvatim, if they went together,
yeah,
then there should be some kind of history, something.
It's exactly what I just said. You see, I don't explain well. It's exactly what I just said. That's exactly the problem. And yet the Malbim is saying just the opposite. So maybe what the Malbim is referring to this time period. See, we're looking at it in hindsight. We're looking at this pasuk from today's point of view. But when Micha is speaking, nothing happened yet. Micha is talking to Klal Yisrael before the Golos of the Aseres Hashvatim. And indeed, when the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled, they were exiled in one group. So logically, there should have been more hope for them. When Yehuda and Binyamin were exiled, it was a little different. They really were more spread out. It was a different.
Not only really hope, but there should have been some kind of recording, some kind of
exactly.
Some,
yeah,
some
it,
kind
it's
of something.
You're right, but it's yeah. But that's the mystery. There is. It was a different time.
He goes to Rishon, Rishon, Acharon, Acharon. The first one was the Acharon, and then Acharon is the Yehuda.
You have to go order, you have to go by order. You have to go in order. Okay, it's an idea. It's very fascinating how he breaks up the pasuk into two parts. He discussed the goals of the Aseres Hashvatim and the goals of Yehuda Binyamin, and he used this terminology to refer to them. It's very, very interesting how he takes, how he analyzes this pasuk. Let's continue. Vahanidocha kabeitz, v'shevet yu. Let's go to the last, v'alzit, let's go to the second to last line. V'shevet Yehuda. Heim nafoytsu li'arba ruchos hashamayim utzrichim kibbutz v'al ze'oma v'hanidocha akabetz v'shevet Yehuda heim soivlim ro'os rabos v'soros ba'aretzos v'shevet Yehuda, they suffered terrible tragedies in the land of their exile. On the next page, Pizudehem, on page 486, loy chein aseres hashvatim. The aseres hashvatim did not suffer, he writes. V'al ze'oma v'asher harei oisi. Very interesting. That why does it say we struggle with this? Why does it say Vasher Hariosi at the end of the pasuk? So he's an understanding. Vasher Hariosi can only be said in regard to the Golos of Yehuda and Binyamin, because they suffered in Golos. The Aseres Hashvatim did not suffer. They were relocated in the land of Ashur, but they were comfortable. They were put up in nice buildings. Shehem Shevet Yehuda Shehariosi Lo. in the ace, by Yesheni, al yidei hayivanim, likewise in the chum by Yesheni, they suffered much more. The achakach yidei haroi miyim, the imimeshach zeman galusam, the only survivors today of Klal Yisrael are Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and we continue to suffer in Golus. It's very interesting, but even though we suffer, there's a silver lining in the suffering, and that is we survived. But Aseres HaShvatim, who the Malbim tells us, did not suffer in Golus. They were relocated, and they had comfortable conditions in the land of their exile, assimilated and disappeared off the map. I mean, today it's a fact. Where are the Aseres HaShvatim? They're gone. Okay, they're gone. And Yehuda and Binyamin, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is thriving today. Okay, man, like never before. Right. It can't be that there has to be a remnant from every single shevet, right? Mingled amongst Yehuda and Binyamin are small pockets of every shevet. That's a given. Right, even in the time of the Golos, not every there were people who see right. There are pockets. There's no doubt about it. That today in Klal Yisrael, when Melech HaMashiach will come, and maybe even, who knows, maybe with technology, before Melech HaMashiach, there'll be a way to determine everyone's yichus. We see it coming to that. The strides have been made in being able to tell you where you come from. Today they can take a blood test. Today you take a blood test, and they can analyze, they can tell you quite a bit. And the more people that they put into the database, the more the artificial intelligence of the computer can show the web of relationships between people. So it's not so far-fetched that in technology alone, even without the Melech HaMashiach, a day will come where you just take even your saliva, okay, you don't have to get even blood, you put into a computer, and it'll print out for you your yichus going back to Adam HaRishon. This is not impossible. This is not an impossibility. Okay, the technology is reaching such a point. You just need everyone to participate. If everyone in this world will participate and give more data to the system, and the system has what to work with, it can analyze, you know, the DNA of saliva of a teeny mashu of a person, and can compare this person to another person. It can make the connections. You just go over to a kiosk and you put down your fingerprint. It's not right. You put your fingerprint on a kiosk, or better, don't touch. Today the goal is no touching. Go on the trains now. The goal is you don't have to touch anything. You just walk through the turnstiles. As long as you have your metro card in the pocket, it's good enough. It will automatically figure out, you have a metro card, pluck out some money from your account, and you can just walk through the turnstile. You don't have to touch anymore. So you just walk over to a kiosk, it gives a look at you, and it prints out for you your yichus going back to Maaseh Bereishis. There's a possibility. If we would do that, you would discover they're going to be in Klal Yisrael. The vast majority of Jews living today are descendants of Yehuda and Binyamin, but there are certainly pockets of Jews from every single Shevet. But the vast majority of the Jews from Shevet, from the Aseres HaShvatim, are gone. They're totally gone. We don't know where they are.
Not Jewish.
They're not Jewish. Doesn't count. If they're not Jewish, they're not Jewish. Nothing you can do. Just because the person's their blood, their father, they have a father. But if their mother is not Jewish somewhere down the line, that's it. They're cut off. It's a problem. I mean, look, all the goyim today, everyone says, all of the successful non-Jews who are inventors, who are creators, they all have Jewish blood. It's a fact. It's the Jewish blood. It's the Jewish blood. It's a real racist comment. But the Jews, really, it's all the talent of the Jewish blood that has brought success to this world. And likewise, has brought a lot of problems.
People say that Hillel had Jewish blood.
Yes, they say about him.
To his father. I think Rabbi, what's his name? The famous historian. What was his name? The W. You know.
Hillel was saved when Hillel was a baby, was an infant. He was in danger. He would have been killed. There was something happened. I don't remember the details. He would have been killed, and a Jewish woman saved his life. Okay, a Jewish woman saved Hitler's life, and now he's saying that Hitler has Jewish blood.
Now,
of course not. He wasn't Jewish. He was the Amalek. Amalek, more Amalek than Amalek. But unfortunately, I mean, whatever. Like Esav also is a child of is a grandchild of Avraham Avinu.
Right. Okay. Yes,
exactly. So it doesn't necessarily like Haman Chasam Sofer says was Jewish. Pshutukim Ashmoy. He was an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani that had a bris milah and went to mikvah. It was a chayvin mitzvahs ki isha. He was a slave. And the halacha is when you have an Eved Kenani, when he goes free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So what happened? What happened to Haman, who destroyed the entire Klal Yisrael? Obviously, something went wrong. He was an Eved Kenani with tefillah, bris milah, and mikvah. And when he was freed, obviously, he has had problems.
It simplifies the problem why it's also to free a slave.
Le'oilam bohem. He's saying very, very good. Look what he's saying. I never put le'oilam bohem tavodu. Don't ever let a slave go free. Why? They become our worst enemies. It's true. The worst enemies of the Jews are the Jews themselves.
Right. In the Nisan, he mentions that it dilutes Judaism.
All of the chaos of the Middle Ages all came from Jews. Nicholas Donain, the apostate, who brought to the attention of the church that what is the lifeblood of the Jewish people is the Talmud Bavli. And that led to the disputations, and that led to the expulsions. And once there was one expulsion, it was contagious. It led to expulsions in all countries. Jews. It's all the problems come from within.
He was a Jew?
Yes, of course. He was a yeshivacha. He studied, learned by the Bali Toisvis. He was a Talmud in the yeshivas by the Bali Toisvis, and he misbehaved, and he did some strange things. So the Rebbe put him in Cheirin. He mamash made a real chayim against him. He said, this Talmud over here has strange ideas. It was too tough. He threw him out of the yeshiva. Right. He was very hurt. And one thing led to another. And the day came when he became a big macha in the church. And he told the church, you know, you're making a very big mistake. You think that what keeps the Jews going is the Bible. That's not true. What keeps the Jews going is the Torah Shebal Peh. I'm telling you, I once learned in yeshiva. I know what it's all about. And he knew Gan Shas on his fingertips. They have that kan. It's fantastic. They write up the debate. They write up in simple English the give and take with all. It's incredible. I mean, it must have been translated from I don't know what language, but there was a record of the French from the disputation. And they have the queen, everything the queen said, everything that Nicholas said, everything that Rabbi Chilmi Paris said, and it's fascinating. It's really, really fascinating. The shakel of Ataria of the arguments between the priests and the queen, but it all came from within. Okay, so this we have over here in the Malmo, finished with the Malmo. So let's review that point. It's a very important point. Is that because we suffer, that is why we survive. Because Vasher Harei Oisi, we are still here to talk about it. Mitzat Sheni, the Hatzolea, they're gone. The Hatzolea, there's no one to talk to. Why? Because they did not merit, so to speak, Va'asher Hari Osi. The way the Malamon stands the pasuk, there are two parts. There's the Tzolea, and there is the Nidocha. The Tzolea is the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim, and the Nidocha is the Malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin are still around today because only concerning them does it say the next two words, Vasher Hare Osi. Hashem caused us a lot of tsar in Golas. That's our survival. Mitzad Sheini, the Tzolei'a, the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim, they did not suffer. And because they did not suffer, it was too comfortable, they assimilated and they disappeared. So when a person, the Musa Haskell is easier to say than to accept, is that when the person does not have an easy time, person should not second guess Hashem. Easy to say, right? Easy to say, not so easy to live with this principle. But when a person has a difficult time in life, he should realize that the difficulty is going to guarantee his survival. If things are too good, you forget. Vayishman, yishurun, vayivat. A person can just look at the Musar Haskel from the Aseres HaShvatim verse to the Yehuden Minyamin. Pasuk Zayin in the Malbim, Vasamti es Hatzalel Lishedis. Now he's going back to the Tzalel, going back to the Aseres HaShvatim. Hashem will make the Tzalel Lishedis. What does that mean? This term refers to Aseres HaShvatim. Heim nevdu michlal Yisrael. They're gone. They're gone today. V'nidme she'enam b'metzius klol. They don't exist. Oy shloy nisharu b'emunasam v'niyuku chol hagoyim. They've abandoned their faith. Yet, he writes here, the day will come, osim oysam she'yuyu she'ris Yisrael v'yis the Yis Galu, they will appear. They will appear. So isn't that amazing? According to Micha, the way the Malbim understands his prophecy, that in the times of Mashiach, the Aseres HaShvatim will appear. They will come back. We have no idea what that means, how that's even possible. Ve'hanahala, heim shevet Yehuda v'shayim she'eris Yisrael rak shadachu oysa hala. It's the parallelism. Now we're going back to Yehudim and Yamin that have been pushed away. They've been pushed hola. Okay, now you notice over here he has now a third interpretation for the word ve'hanahala. I wouldn't say it's a third interpretation. It's very similar to Micha, to the Radak, but not exactly. Let's take a step back. When we learned the Mitzudos, we translated the word ve'hanahala Lo'o to mean tired, yigia, wearied, people who are just exhausted, they're overwhelmed. The Jews who are overwhelmed are now going to be fortified, there's going to be a new vigor, new koyach, and they're going to become legoy otso. The Radak did not say that. The Radak learned the word Ve'hana Ha'la'a is another word for those that have been banished, pushed away. If you look very quickly on the top, page 47 in the Radak, Ve'hana Ha'la'a, Hi Hanidocha. And he doesn't really explain the word, the meaning of the etymology of the word Hana Ha'la'a, how it comes to mean those that have been pushed away. The only thing he did for us is cite the Targum that clearly says those that have been scattered. The Malbum is doing us a very great favor in showing us a pasuk, Gesh Holo, get out of here. Gosh, or get, Gosh, Gosh means come close over there. It's a euphemism. Get lost. Get lost. Gosh no means come close. But it means, but don't come close to me. Come close to the opposite direction of me. Hala. Go close to there. Over there. It's an expression. You don't really have this in English, this type of expression. Okay, in English, it's a very unique expression. Gosh, come close. But not to me. Not to me. Come close to the opposite end of the world. So what do we see from this? The word hala in this pasuk is used as a reference to being pushed away, just like what the Radak taught us and what the Targum says. The advantage, though, here is that he's coming to actually cite a pasuk to make that point. If you look in the Beir Hamilos, the Beir Hamilos, okay, the Hanalo Nigzar, this has been derived Mimilas Gesh Hala. Shemoyre al hisra chakus, distance, being pushed away. Okay, back to the Beir Ho'inyin on the right side. שעשרת השבטים שקראון בשם צלעיה, הם נעבדו מכלל ישראל ונדמו ש... go for Vahana, Vahana, a few lines down, the first one line, Vahana Halah, him Shevi Yehuda Shal Yesheris Yisrael, Rak Shadachu Aysa Halah, Migoyal Goy, Mimakam Lamakam, Makam Acher of Halah, Makam, another, they kept them being pushed from place to place, expulsion to another expulsion, from one place to another place, the Masois, the 42 Masois in Parshas Masei, Maisa of a Simon Labonim corresponds to the various exiles of the Jewish people throughout history. They were very weak. They were killed through. They were diminished through murder, uvil bulim, all different types of chaos, all different types of pogroms, all different types of horrible things. Asimem legoy otzum umolach Hashem aleihem. What's going to happen? Aleph, Sheyu Tachas Malchus Hashem Hashgoch Hasai. They will be underneath the Malchus of Hashem. Bei Shetia Hamalucha Bahar Tzion. Gimel Sheyu Me'atov Yerolam Ha'ilim Me'es Ha'gu'ula Anetzach Kila Yiglu Oid. Three things the Pasuk says what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Number one, Hashem is going to be our Melech. Number two, we're going to live once again in Yerushalayim, Har Tzion. Number three, it's going to be forever. Okay, so that concludes the Malbim. Let's look quickly at the Chidah. Maybe we should spend right away now. Let's talk now a little bit. Let's talk do the Chidah, and then we're going to do. I want to do the analysis. Okay, the analysis between Yeshaya and Micha. Let's do the Chidah. Chidah goes back to page 485. The Choymas Anoch. Bayoi Mahunum Hashem Oiswahat Soleil Haridaha Kabits of Asher Harioisi Hagam did the Kamu Kusum Kasiv Bayoi Mahu. We call Mokim Hechadikal Limidrash Darshina. Now, even though it's on that day, let's see what he's trying to say. Diodua, the sick was say, our hope. Shakodosh Baruchu, Yigoledu Lchvoit Shachina Soidir Siv. Bayoi Mahu Okim es Sukas David Hanoifeles. Yimos HaMashiach, Hashem will restore the Malchus of David, Vima Yip Kun, and with that revelation, with that restoration, we will be redeemed. Kumoish Amu Buzoya Kodesh, the Oid Ki Ein Shemoy Vichisoy, Hashem's name and his throne is not complete without, we turn the page. V'chisoy kiviyochol sholem, Hashem today is malchus incomplete. Uvagoyla uvguula yeshmoy v'chisoy sholem. Uverachamav and his mercy yigolein bavur shachinasoy bavur shmo v'chisoy. Now he's saying v'ze yesh lirmoiz v'pasek bayomahu akim esukas David v'pasek shalanu demayru b'guula deteva sahu shom remes hey. Rishayna l'shchina liyachada im doida. The hey is Hashem's name, the shchina. The oisiyos hu hey vav aleph lahashlim Hashem v'akisei. Period. The im shagisi Hashem atoiv yichaper ba'ad. If I made a mistake in my interpretation, may Hashem forgive me. Now, what is he saying? Who? He's saying a very popular idea. Kiyod Hashem. Al-Kais-Ka. Now, what is Ka? Ka is, Hashem's full name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So whenever Hashem's name is spelled Ka, Ki B'Ka Hashem Tzur Oilamim, that is only half of Hashem's name. Kais is a reference to Hashem's throne. The way you refer to the throne is Kisei. So the Aleph of Kos, Kiyod Hashem Al-Kais, the Aleph is missing. Ka, the Vav, and the Hey is missing. Chazal say, this pasuk is said by a Molech, as long as there is an Molech in this world that denies the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and cast their influence on Klal Yisrael to diminish their ability to serve Hashem fully, then Hashem's purpose, Hashem's purpose of creation has not yet been fulfilled. Hashem's throne is incomplete, and Hashem's name is incomplete. Hashem's name is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Vav and the He is missing, and the Aleph of Hashem's throne is also missing. Those three letters together spell the word Hu. Bayoim Ha-Hu. So the word Ha-Hu, there's the He Ha-Yidia, and then there is Hu. What is the He Ha-Yidia? The He is a reference to Hashem's Shekhinah. So he's over here coming, the Mechidah's coming to divide, is the Hashem's Shekhinah, and then there is Hashem's appearance of this world, the way we perceive Hashem. We perceive Hashem with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We perceive Hashem's throne. So the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and the Kisei is our perspective. The He is Hashem's perspective. It's a zivug. There's a zivug between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. Hashem comes with himself, the He, and we come to greet Hashem with a new perspective, a new appreciation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and the Kisei Hashem with the Aleph, and that comes together to form the word Ha-Hu. Bayoim Ha-Hu Yihyeh Hashem Echad Ushemoy Echad. The unification of the Ribbono Shel Olam with Klal Yisrael. This is really what you said in L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud, Kudosh Obrichu, Shechite B'dechilu, L'Yached Shem Yud-Kei B'Vav-Kei. Whatever all that means, but it refers to the time, the goal of the Ichud, the coming together of Hashem with Klal Yisrael, where everything is complete, and here the Chidah has taking this pasuk bayoim ha-hu, every time you have that word ha-hu, it represents this unification. The last three letters, hey, vav, and aleph, hu, represents our perspective. The shleimus of our relationship to Hashem in his name, mo shemoi, mo oimar aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says to Hashem, when I go and I tell Klal Yisrael that the Ribbono Shel Olam is here and he's ready to redeem them, they're going to ask me, what's his name? How do we relate to Hashem? How do we have a handle on divinity? So Hashem says to Moshe, go tell them that my name is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'zeh Zichri Le'Dar-Dar. So what do we learn from this? That Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the way we as a people are able to relate, to connect to Hashem. And until the time of Mashiach, we only can connect to Hashem only through half of his name, Yud-Kei, whatever all that means. But when Mashiach will come, then it will be complete. It will be Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So that's two letters right there, Vav and He. What else is lacking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation in this world? It's his authority, his authority over this world, and that's referenced in the concept of the kisei HaKavod. Today it's only case without the aleph, so the missing letter aleph with the vav and hey makes up the word hu. And then there is, from Hashem's perspective, Hashem says, when the world is ready, I, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will also come and connect myself to this world. That's the hey. So we put the hey of Hashem and the hey, vav, aleph, from our perspective, we bring them together in matrimony. What do we get? We get ha-hu. When is that going to happen? Bayoim ha-hu. Okay, that's a very beautiful idea out of the Chidah to explain the significance of that word. Further, v'hine, horav b'nei chaye zal. I have no idea who this is. This means children? Is the name of a person? Who's referring to over here? The Rav, B'nei Chaye. Does this mean it's a child? My child who should live? But then he says, Zal, Zichronon Levracha. Does that mean that he had a child who died? Or maybe he's referring to a person, a Rebbe of his, a teacher of his, whose name was B'nei Chaye. I have no idea what this means. Perish Pasuk Zeh. Uvikitzur, he has a very elaborate perush, and he's going to now summarize his interpretation. Gedel teshuva. This is very apropos for our time. The sieve, it says, the yuchal ba'alu harishayin, the kasha, al zed de ein oimim lachatoi, b'shvil sheyiske chavercha. So what's the question? We don't tell a person to sin in order that your friend should benefit. So what is he trying to say? Lo yuchal ba'alu harishayin b'shvil lachatoi. That was last week's parasha.
Right.
If a man marries a woman and she gets divorced, there's a mitzvah of machzer girushasai. But what happens if she remarries someone else? Then it's impossible. Then the first husband is no longer allowed to take back his wife if she would subsequently get divorced from the second husband. So the kasha, what? No.
If he married another woman?
No such thing.
Got to go back
of course.
Then?
A man always has the upper edge.
Man.
A man, yes.
You gotta go back to him.
Of course. If a man divorces his wife, and then the man marries another 10 women,
right,
he's allowed to go take back the first wife also. The only time a man cannot take back his divorcee is only if in the meantime, in between, she marries someone else. And she then, of course, either gets divorced from that man or her husband dies. And now she's free. She's available again. So he is not allowed to take her back. So what's his question? His question over here is, I don't know what that means. I don't know what he's meant. Let's go further. The kasu ha-taisvis. The im hu goram oz shuri lachatoi, chet kal, kidei shechaver lo yechete chet chamo. That if he has sinned, if he's the cause of a sin, then it's permitted to sin a small sin. I'm not sure what that means either. Let's just a little further. Vizesh Amar Oisifa Hat Soleya. Shiba Golos, the Aina Zazimukaima. The one that is in Golos, it's not moving. Vahanidocha Shenitches Mikoyach Lo Yuchal Bailo Horishain. The Aton now Akabetsa, I'm going to gather in, Lashon Kiddushin, Kimoisha Amu Perakamad Kiddushin, Atsurasi. One of the terms, if a man says to a woman in the Chuppah, Hare At Atsurasi. Did that ever happen to you, Rabbi Sayyid? Go to a wedding? Ever heard a story? Under the Chuppah, the Lamdan, Hare At Atsurasi, Betabaz Zo, Kidas Moshe V'Yisrael. What are you going to see? Right. If you ever go to a wedding where the chassan does that, I guarantee you, under the chuppah, you're going to see in one moment, five rabbanim take out their smartphones and start making calls to big rabbis. Paskin, is it a kosher marriage? If this fellow did not use the correct term, hare at nikudeshesli, he says a different term, hare at Atsurasi, you are ingathered to me. Is that a term that is kosher for marriage? And the answer is yes. But don't try this at home. Don't try. This is. What?
Instead of Gudeshes with Gudeshes, they say Atsura.
I know someone knows someone very Balmadatic, they would, and he always complained that. That with most chassanim is hared mikudesh asli b'tabas zu. So seemingly it's incorrect. It should be tabas zo. Okay, this is an old story, right? So these friends would always tease him. By your wedding, are you going to say b'tabas zu or b'tabas zo? Because he kept on teasing that it's incorrect. The end was, he said, "Bitabas zu," like everyone else. Why? I don't know. I guess he didn't want to rock the boat by his own wedding, but he was trying to make a point that it appears to be, according to the rules of grammar, incorrect to say zu. It should really be zo. It's not so simple. There's a lot been written about this, I'm zu yotzarti. There's also there are other examples. It's a complicated topic. The Pashtus is, it really means that that's what it seems. But for whatever reason, the meaning is to say zu. Is it because there's an exception? some very sophisticated way to understand why it should be different, or is it a mistake? Like many things in life, a lot of mistakes. Yeah.
I went to a chassana yesterday, and the person said at a modern wedding, and he said it on the loudspeaker, very loud, everybody heard it, and they started to sing right after him.
What did he say? He said zoo. But what he said it very loud, and they made all
very
this.
Loud, and then everyone started to sing. The constant interruption between, and then by the Sheva bracha, after each bracha, they were singing.
All right, whatever. To each his own. To each his own. Any event, at Sudasi v'chi tema, ein oimrim la'adam chatay shkidish chavercha ve'echav yachol avar alav delos yuchal yuchakdish yisko yisrael. V'al ze amar v'asher haruyosi shabrosi ayetzarina. I want to do this tomorrow. But we're going to go back into this tomorrow. Basically, over here, I think what he's trying to say over here is the question is that there's an old discussion that Klal Yisrael, when they went into Galus, it's ki'ilu, they remarried. We were originally married to Hashem. Right? Hashem married us by Matan Torah. And then when we went into Galus, it was equivalent to a divorce. And then what happened? We worshipped idols. So worshipping idols in Galus is equivalent to marrying another woman. And then we realized the idols are just nonsense. So we got divorced from our second wife. And now we want to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Can't. Lo yuchal baila harishon lo shuv lekachta acharei asher hu tamah. So halachically, how is Hashem allowed to take us back after Hashem kaviyochol divorced us and we remarried and now we're available once again because we realize that avodah zarah is nonsense? This is a very big hot topic. This is one of the big things of Christians. One of the big, the Christian philosophy, ideology. This is a very hot topic. And over here, according to the Chidah, that's exactly what this pasuk here is about, is going to address. Why this is incorrect. Eze, first of all, who's Hashem divorced us? Pasuk says, Beferish, Perish, and Yeshaya. Where's your Sefer Kriyos? I never divorced you to begin with. Problem is another pasuk that says Hashem did divorce us. Okay, that's okay. So Umir Shem, we're gonna go back and do this tomorrow. This chidah. I want to now instead the last few minutes. Can you get this out? I want to now go over the difference between Yeshaya and Micha. Okay, I have here a handout. This handout is a few pesukim from Yeshaya Perek Beis. In Yeshaya Perek Beis, the words there are all almost identical to what we've been learning last week. We spent last week reading a couple of psukim, some very famous psukim. There are literally word for word. And the question is, how come Micha and Yeshaya are saying exactly the same thing? So we discussed a little bit. Let everyone gets a handout to understand the difference. What I want to try to show you here is that the Nevuah of Micha and Yeshaya are so different. They're night and day. Completely different prophecies. They have absolutely, they're discussing different worlds. How could that possibly be? Let's go look at the beginning of the Pesukim. Okay, we'll go Pasuk by Pasuk. Let's first look at Micha. Micha, it says, V'hoya ba'acharis hayamim yihyeh har beis Hashem nochoin. It will be established b'roish hehorim v'nisahu, be elevated migva'ois above the hills v'noharu olav amim. Nations will flow. They will be naturally attached, will flow, they will run like a river to this Har Hashem. Look at now Yeshaya. Perek Beis, Pasik Aleph. Hadavar asher chozo Yeshaya ben amoyitz al Yehudav Yushalayim. V'hoyo, Pasik Beis. Bi'acharis hayamim. Nochoin yihye Har Beis Hashem b'roi shehorim. V'nisa migvois. V'noharu elof kol ha'goyim. Very similar. Okay, let us read the pasuk. Then we'll go back and show the differences. Now let's go back to Micha, pasuk Beis in Micha. The Holochu Goyim, on page 42 in Micha, Micha page 482, Perek Dalet Pasuk Beis. In Micha, the Holochu Goyim, Rabim V'yamru Luchu V'nale El Har Hashem V'El Beis Elokei Yaakov V'yoreinu Midrachav V'nelchav Yerchaisav Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sarod V'Hashem Yushalayim. And now let's shift to Yeshaya, Pasuk Gimel, says very similar, almost word for word. V'holchu amim rabim v'yarmu l'chu v'nale el har Hashem v'el beis elokei Yaakov v'yareinu midrachav v'nelcha v'yarchosav. We'll go on his ways in his small paths. Ki mitzion teitzei sod v'ashem yishloim. Now, back to Micha. Pasuk Gimel. V'shofat v'in amim rabim v'hichiech l'goy matzim ad rochoik. V'kitesu char v'yseihem l'itim v'chaniso yseihem l'mazmerois v'lo yisugel goy chanav l'yidu yilmidu noy mulchamah. Go to Yeshaya, Pasuk Dalet, very, very similar. V'shofat bein hagoyim v'chiyach la'amim rabim v'chidusu char v'yisam litim v'chani soysehem l'mazmeros lo yisagel goy cherev lo yildo l'mechoma. And then, wind down, back in Micha, v'yosh v'ish tachas gav tachas tenosa v'ein macharir ki v'yashem tzvokas diber Pasuk Hei ki kol am yelchu ish v'shem elokah v'anachnu neilch v'shem Hashem elokeinu l'oilam. And here, in Yeshaya, it says, "Beis Yaakov l'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem." All right, it's very similar. I looked at a lot of the Mefarshim. A lot of the Mefarshim, they don't say very much. They just say, yeah, very similar. There are a few nuances. Some of the words are a little bit different. Some more words, less words. Mole, choser, above here, above there. An exchange, amim and goyim are inter... Okay, we're going to go through... We're going to discuss it, okay? Exactly, right? That's one point. There are many points. And a lot of them, they say the same yesod, that Yeshaya and Micha lived in the same time. And we'll discuss that in a moment. Micha was actually a student of Yeshaya. Yeshaya was older. Yeshaya was first. Yeshaya started giving over prophecy earlier. And then he had a student. His name was Micha. And it can very well be that they both witnessed the same, they both experienced the same vision. And they express the Nevuah in different words. And the signal that Chazal say that each Navi expresses the Nevuah in their own unique signal, in their own style. So a few words here and there, what's really the big deal? That is the Pshut, that's how a lot of the Farsh, they don't really make a big deal out of it. Now, I think though, there is a major, major difference. First, let me show you some of the differences. Rav Michal picked up on one difference, and that is the reversal of the word goyim and amim. Okay, all across the board, consistently. Okay, so pasuk in Micha pasuk aleph, it says v'noharu, the end of the pasuk v'noharu olav amim, a river. The amim are going to flow. They're going to run. Like a river flows down a mountain, they're going to run to the Har Hashem. Who's going to go? The Amim. Yeshaya says, the one that's going to go, V'noharu Elov, doesn't just say Goyim, a different word, he says Kol Goyim. Okay, that's one difference. Another very, very significant difference, which I really think is the biggest difference, which is is everything, opens up, changes everything about this Nevuah, is a Vav, an extra or missing Vav. In Pasuk Beis in Micha, V'holchu goyim rabim v'omeru l'chu v'nale, where are we going to go? We're going to go up. Now also, there's a change over here also. By the way, over here also there's a change. Here now, in the next pasuk, we shift. Who's the hoylech? The goyim are the hoylechim. Whereas in Yeshaya, in pasuk gimel, in Yeshaya, v'holchu amim. Okay, so there's a reversal. There's a reversal between Yeshaya and Micha. Who is the nohor and who is the holchu? Is the Nahar, the Goyim, or the Am, who is the Holchu? Now the next major difference is the Vav. In Micha it says, L'chu v'nale el har Hashem, and now comes this one letter that makes, Rabbi Yisai, all the difference. All the difference depends on the one letter. The El Beis Elokei Yaakov. Look at Yeshaya. Yeshaya, Pasuk Gimel, V'holchu Amim Rabim, V'amru L'chu V'nale El Har Hashem, El Beis Elokei Yaakov. What happened to the Vav? How come the Vav is missing? Is that an insignificant point? Okay, hold on, hold off one more, let's go further. Let's then go back, let's go to Micha Pasuk Gimel. V'shafat, Micha writes, the Melech HaMashiach will judge Bein Amim Rabim. Now also there's the nuances, we're not going to have time to go through all the differences, but the trop, the Tamei HaMikra, speaks volumes. Everything, I'm going to try to give a yesoid, and after the yesoid that I lay out, everything will fit into place, even with the Tamei HaMikra. V'shafat, Bein Amim Rabim, V'chiach L'goyim Atzumim Ad Rochek. The Melech HaMashiach will do mishpat between the Amim and will give Musar V'chiach to the Goyim. Yeshaya, it's the opposite. Yeshaya says, V'shafat Mishpat Bein HaGoyim V'chiach L'Amim Rabim. Okay, then it goes on to describe what they're going to do. Another major difference is B'loshon Yis'u or Yis'o. In Micha it says in plural, Lo Yis'u Goy El Goy Cherev, V'lo Yilmidun Od Milchama. In Yeshaya it says, Lo Yis'o, in the singular, a nation will not lift up, not they will not lift up. We'll call it, the nation is one, the collective noun, a nation, lo yisa, goy el goy chere, velo yilmidu, velo shon yochid, na yilmidun, like it says in Micha.
Here, he does not flip the goy and the
Right, does not flip, very good. Now, another major difference, okay, there are a lot of differences, but one more major significant difference is the very end. The very end of Micha, we struggle with this pasuk. We spend maybe even 2 days on this. The end of the pasuk where it says, what's the end of all this? After everything is said and done, it says, Ki kol ha'amim yelchu ish b'shem Eloi hav. Which means, there are many interpretations, but let's now translate the words very loosely. After everything is said and done, the Goyim continue to worship their idols. Okay, I know that's not one of the interpretations that we said. We played around with this quite a bit. But just let's read it very simply. Ki chol ho'amim, all of the nations, yelchu, they continue to travel, each individual, b'shem, in the name Elohav, of his idol. But v'anachnu, but klal Yisrael, Nelech b'shem Hashem Elokeinu le'olam voed. Yeshaya, look at Pasuk Hey, Beis Yaakov. The way all the commentators there in the Pasuk on Yeshaya, they translate the words, is this is said by the Goyim. L'chu v'nelcha b'ar Hashem. The Goyim are begging Klal Yisrael, Yaakov, come, please. L'chu, let us go with you. L'chu v'nelcha, let us go and travel together. L'chu v'nelcha be'or Hashem. Okay, so this is, we've gone through over here a whole series of differences. What's going on? Everybody say, what is going on over here?
All of them seemingly very minor.
Very minor, exactly. If you look at all the farshim on the page, you all say, there's no difference. All the same. It's all. I want to show you, there's such a difference, it's mamish night and day. Night and day, they're discussing two very different worlds. What do I mean? First of all, we have to understand, to whom were they speaking? Yeshaya begins, Hadavar shechozo Yeshaya pasuk alf ben amoitz al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. He's only speaking to Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Micha, when we started Micha's Nevuah, the very beginning of Sefer Micha, we made this point. Who is Micha speaking to? Devar Hashem, asher haya el Micha ha-mo Rashti, Bime Yosom Ochaz Yechizkiya Malche Yehuda, Asher Chazal Shomroin Virushalayim. He's speaking to the Aseres HaShvatim, to the two different camps. Klal Yisrael is divided. There's a war. There's a civil war. There's a wall. Mamish a wall between the Aseres HaShvatim and the Malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin. They don't talk to each other. There's a civil war going on. What? Who paid for it? Whoever paid for it, paid for it. But there's mamish a separation, a division, and he's giving nevuah to the Aseres HaShvatim and to Klal Yisrael. Micha looks at himself as a prophet for everyone together. Yeshaya doesn't do that. Yeshaya's prophecy is always directed Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Okay, that's not the main point I want to make. That's a significant. It's something very significant about that. Who are they speaking to? Number two. Now this I think is this is the main point. In the beginning of Micha, it says he began to say his prophecy Bimei Yoisam. Ochoz, Yechizkiyah, Malcha Yehuda. His prophecies span three kings. Yoisam, Ochoz, and Yechizkiyah. In the first pasuk of Yeshaya, it says exactly the same thing with one addition. Before Yoisam, it says, Bimei Uziyahu. Bimei Uziyahu. Uziyahu, Uziyahu. Okay, it says one more king. Yeshaya started first. He came first. And he began his prophecy in the Malchus of Uziyahu. And you look there in Rashi. Rashi elaborates, and you have to go back to Malachim and understand who was Uziyahu. Uziyahu, Yeshaya, was really the first. Let's take a step back. What is the purpose of the prophets? The Nevi'im Achroin, what is their goal? Their goal is to give Musar. Why are they giving Musar? Because there are problems. When did the problems begin? Well, you'll say it began in the Chumash, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is also predicting there are going to be big problems. No. When did the problems really begin, took on a new nature that changed everything? You'll say maybe the splitting of the Malchus. Okay, that's true, but there was something even more significant. Only when you studied Nach do you really appreciate this. The splitting of the Malchus was not the end of the world. Okay, it was a horrible tragedy, and things could have been repaired. That also, fine. Not right away. It was a gradual process. It got worse. The point in time that's very significant was when the king Uziyah decided, you know what? It's not enough for me to be the Melech. I also want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to be Maktir Ketores. So what did he do? He decided. He walked into the Beis HaMikdash and he made an announcement, there's going to be a change in Klal Yisrael. The Melech will also offer Kitoires on the Mizbeach. And he did it. When he did this, the moment he put the Kitoires on the Mizbeach, there was a massive earthquake in the whole Eretz Yisrael. The earth shook. The moment of that earthquake was the moment when the Ribbono Shel Olam recruited Yeshaya to be the Navi for Klal Yisrael. Now we need you. This was the moment when corruption entered into the fabric of Klal Yisrael. The Malchus split. Okay, so you do. There was always purity and there was integrity in the Malchus of Yehuda. When the Melech went and decided, I'm also the Kohen Gadol. A clear violation of halacha, a clear corruption of the authority, the hierarchy of Klal Yisrael, the division of powers in Klal Yisrael. This set into motion a precedent and a degree of corruption and a breach of the integrity of Klal Yisrael beyond repair. It was all downhill from this moment when the Melech was Maktir Kitoires on the Mizbeach. There was an earthquake, and Hashem says we now need a Navi to give Musar to Klal Yisrael because they've reached a point where it's all downhill from here on in. Very significant. Who was the one? Yeshaya. Micha came later. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. When you want to fix something, you can only fix if you know what to fix. Yeshaya saw the world before Uzziah was Makdir Ketores. And then he saw Klal Yisrael after Uzziah was Makdir the Ketores. Yeshaya is here to fix problems. He's a fixer, man. Someone told me everything yesterday. There's a very choshva Rosh Hashiva or Mashkiach, I don't know what you want to call him. What's his job? He says, I'm the janitor. I clean up everyone else's mess. That's what my role is. That's how he summarized his career. I work here, and unfortunately a lot of people make a big mess in life, and then when they get into a lot of trouble, they come to me. I should help them clean up their mess or the mess that someone else made. Their parents made a big mess with them. Parents made a big mess, and this child is all messed up. I'm the janitor. I'm here to clean it up. That's what he said he does the whole day. I'm just here to clean up other people's garbage, other people's problems. That's what a Navi is. A Navi here is coming to clean up. But when you come to clean, you go to a room, can you clean up? Well, if you never saw what the room looked like before, you don't know where to put everything. It's a big mess. Okay, it's a very big mess. Where do the tables go? Where do the chairs go? How do you set things up? Where do the svarim go? If you never saw what it looked like originally, you're not going to know how to fix it. You have to be around when things were good in order to know how to fix it. Yeshaya HaNavi existed in a world, lived in a world, before Uzziah corrupted the authority of Klal Yisrael by being Makdir Ketores. He then witnessed the Churban, the earthquake of the corruption of the authority of Klal Yisrael through what he did. And now he's here to give Musar to correct the mess. Micha is on a lower level, on a much lower level. Micha never saw a perfect world. Micha came into a world when there was already a mess. So when he's coming to clean it up, he's doing the best that he can on a lower level to correct the best they can possibly correct. Therefore, what am I trying to say? Yeshaya's nevuah, it's not just a nevuah, it's a yearning to restore the world to a state of the ultimate perfection. It's a much, much higher restoration of the world than Micha. Now, therefore, let me just give you some tidbits. We're running out of time, so then maybe I'm not going to do some more tomorrow. When Yeshaya talks about the Goyim coming, Yemos HaMashiach, to learn from Klal Yisrael, he says they're going to come to the Har Hashem, and then he does not have a Vav. Let me turn to the page. He's coming to the Har Hashem. They're going to come to the whole Chugoyim Rabbim, the Amru Luchuvin Ale El Har Hashem. That is Micha. Let's go Yeshaya in the handout. Okay, in the handout. The whole Chugoyim Rabbim, the whole Chugoyim Luchuvin Ale El Har Hashem. El Beis Elokei Yaakov. In Yeshaya's vision of Yemos HaMashiach, there is no difference. This is a very important point. This point really captures everything. There is no difference between the Har Hashem and the Beis Elokei Yaakov. When the non-Jews, when the Goyim want to come connect to spirituality and they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, it's obvious that the people who represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the Beis Elokei Yaakov. According to Micha, He doesn't see that. He sees a much lower level in the times of Mashiach. The goyim are going to come and see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the emes. They're going to want to connect to the world of Kedusha. But they'll say there are different levels of Kedusha. Klal Yisrael happens to be one level, but they're not one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Micha, when he describes this, he says, V'holchu goyim rabim v'amru l'chu v'nala el har Hashem, will go to the Har Hashem, and will also go visit the El Beis Elokei Yaakov. They are not necessarily the ultimate. They're a good school, but you know you can get into Brooklyn College, the college, and you can get into Harvard. What do you want to get into? You want to go to Harvard, right? You don't want to go to Brooklyn College. You don't want to be like me. You want to go to the real deal. So lechatchila, we want to get into Harvard. But if we can't get into Harvard, we'll go to Brooklyn College. The goyim, Yimos HaMashiach, they're going to be makir. Wow, there really is a Ribbono Shel Olam. We really want to connect. Let's go to Harvard. The holchu goyim v'amru, they're going to apply luchu v'nale el har Hashem, and then they're going to get a letter of rejection. I'm sorry, your SAT scores are not high enough. You cannot get into Harvard. All right. So you know what? We'll then go the vav. We'll go to the next best, the El Beis Elokei Yaakov. If we can't go to the Har Hashem, we'll go the El. There's something a little bit lower than that. It's not the same. Beis Elokei Yaakov is not in their eyes the equivalent of going to the Har Hashem. And it could be for one of two reasons. Either it's because they don't appreciate us, even though they think that they do appreciate us, the Yimos HaMashiach, they don't fully appreciate us. Or maybe we have not succeeded. It's not because they don't. They can only appreciate it as great as we are. Maybe we will be failures. Klal Yisrael will not have reached the ultimate level of being Harvard. We're not going to reach the ultimate Madrega, so Mamela. It's a reality. The reality is there's the Har Hashem, and there is the El Beis Elokei Yaakov. It's not the same. So let's get this one point at a time. Yeshaya is witnessing, I'm not just saying witnessing, he's yearning for a perfect world in Achris Hayom. And in that perfect world, Klal Yisrael is Harvard. Klal Yisrael is the Har Hashem. Yisrael v'oiraisa v'kudsha b'richu chad. It's all the same. When Klal Yisrael achieves perfection, they are the Har Hashem. Yeshaya is witnessing a perfect, was yearning to see a perfect world where Klal Yisrael is the same, is equivalent to the Har Hashem. There is no vav. The goyim are going to go v'holchu amim rabim v'amru luchu v'nale el har Hashem. What is the har Hashem? The har Hashem is El Beis Elokei Yaakov. And we're going to learn from the only ones to learn from. Micha doesn't see that. Micha sees Yimos HaMashiach, the goyim are going to recognize there is a creator, and we need to be instructed, so we're going to go v'holchu goyim rabim v'amru luchu v'nale el har Hashem. And where else will we go for guidance, for instruction? We'll go to a local school. The local school will get us going in order that we can appreciate the Har Hashem, the El Beis Elokei Yaakov. Not the same. Yeah?
I think Micha is more realistic.
Oh, yeah, we'll go through it. Okay. I'm going to get to that. We'll come to that.
That's
reality. Okay, we're going to come. It's more than that. It's not going to be the same. Okay, so let's discuss the next point. Another point. There are a lot of points. We're out of time, but let's discuss the next point. In Micha's vision, after everything is said and done, they're going to come to learn by Klal Yisrael. They're going to appreciate Hashem. There's no question about it. But when everything is said and done, it's not going to be 100%. His nevuah ends off on a very sad note. After everything is said and done, Yemos HaMashiach, what does he say? He says, Ki chol ho'amim yelchu ish b'shem Elohav. Business as usual. Yeah, we went to the Har Hashem. The Jews tried to teach us. We went to the El Beis Hashem. They tried to teach us. They taught us. We have an appreciation. But when everything is said and done, it's business as usual. Ki chol ho'amim yelchu ish b'shem Elohav. They continue to go back to their gods. Not it can't be. It has to be. They have some degree. They've learned something. Yeshaya, when it's all over, Pasuk Hey, what happens when it's all over and they destroy their weapons? They say to Klal Yisrael, Beis Yaakov. Rash, all the Mefarshim say the same thing. The one who says these two words are the Goyim. The Goyim, they say, Beis Yaakov, L'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. Let's more. Give us another shear. Let's continue. Yeshaya, how does he start off? Yeshaya starts, V'hoya b'acharis hayamim nochoin yihiyeh. It will be firmly established. How does Micha start off? V'hoya b'acharis hayamim. It doesn't say the word nochoin yihiyeh. It says, yihiyeh. It's still yet to be. Har beis Hashem nochoin b'roish heharim. In the acharis hayamim of Micha, it's not nochon. It says yihiyeh. It will first be. It's the hoyob yachris hayamim. It's now the acharis hayamim. So you are we finished? Are we finished? No. What does it mean yihiyeh? It's yet to be. We have arrived at the acharis hayamim. Is it nochon? Is it firmly established? No. There's a lot more work to be done. Yihiyeh har beis Hashem nochon. The process is in motion. It's now getting there. It will be nochon b'roi shehorim. Yeshaya, no. V'hoya b'achris hayamim. It's nochon yihiyeh. It's done. The mission is done. They come to the Har Hashem El Beis. Yaakov, it's all the same. Klal Yisrael has achieved perfection. Klal Yisrael is the Har Hashem. There is no Vav. And thus, since it's Nochon, and Klal Yisrael is the Har Hashem, and the Goyim are influenced, the end of the day is, Beis Yaakov, L'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. Micha. It's weakness. It's the Har Hashem. And this will also maybe they can we'll go to a yeshiva that will help us get moving, but it's not nochon. It's yet to be nochon. And the end is the end is there's more. They go back in their old ways. Another example by Yeshaya, it says v'lo yisa b'loshim yochid v'lo yisa goy el goy. Even one Malchus, one nation, will not lift up a weapon to another nation. In Micha, it doesn't say that. V'lo yis'u. There won't be world wars. In world wars, there are alliances, coalitions. Nations get together, a coalition. So a coalition, they get together, and we fight against all the Arab nations and Western cultures, all of the European nations and the United States, v'lo yis'u, v'lo shon rabin. You're not going to have groups of nations lifting up weapons to fight other groups of nations. But amongst the nations themselves, they're fighting like cats and dogs. One nation will fight against another nation. Yeshaya sees a perfect world. In Yeshaya's world, v'lo yisa v'loshen yochid, not only are there not going to be world wars, even one little nation will not fight with another little nation.
Which is the atmos? Which Nebuah
very good. So what are the differences? There's another major difference that we saw, that is Goy versus Amin. Now, there are a lot of differences, let me pay Rusha, but I think I want to work with the Targum. The Targum says the word Goy is a malchus, a kingdom. Amin are the people. Who is going to be the ones that are going to lead the way when Mashiach comes? According to Yeshaya, Yeshaya says, it says, kol hagoyim, the malchus, the leadership of the world will be choshev. And the leaders of the world on their own are going to drag their nation, let's go, lahar Hashem. When the malchus, the kingdoms, the leaders, when they want to go, then v'holchu amim, then the common man. The amim represents the common man. Micha says, no. It's a grassroots movement. In the times of Mashiach, you know who's the kings? They're politicians. They do whatever the people want. The people that are going to have the curiosity to study Hashem are going to be the common man. The Noharu Olav Amim, the common man. And then when the government sees that this is what the people want, okay.
It's more like the Gemara, that they follow like a dog,
you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Then Vaholchu Goyim Rabin. It's much weaker. If the leadership itself doesn't have the ability to bring the people Lidei Gadlus, and they want to go, instead it's the common man, whatever they want, that's okay, it's good for politics. I'll do whatever the voters say, whatever will get me a vote. I'll sell my mother if you'll vote for me in for office. That's what it says in Micha's time. Micha is looking at Achris Hayam in a much lower level. Achris Hayamim, there's a lot of work left to do. The people, it's a popular movement amongst the people. And the mail, it trickles up to the Malchus. They come to Har Hashem, but the Jews don't have the full respect they deserve. And they've accomplished very great things. There are no more longer world wars, but there are civil wars. There are wars amongst one nation against another, small wars. And at the end of the day, Ish b'shem Elohav, the more things change, the more they stay the same. There's a lot more work to do. Yeshaya sees a very different world. He sees a world where there's real leadership in this world. There are goyim, there's malchus, and the malchus has a hakor of the ribbono shel olam and is responsible to the people to bring them close to Hashem. And they have come to appreciate that indeed Hashem Yisrael v'oraisa v'kutsha b'ruchu chad, it's all one and the same. And they bring the world nochon yihyeh, a perfect world, and there's no wars, not even between one nation and another nation. And the ultimate is, where the goyim say at the end, Beis Yaakov, luchu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. Who's right? Two individuals that are giving over prophecy, they see a very different achris hayamim. So first of all, you can say many things. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Micha is discussing an earlier tekufa in the process of Yemos HaMashiach. Yeshaya is discussing the ultimate, the later process. Or, if you want to be nasty, you can say, there are two types of geula. There's be'ita achishena. If we're zoiche to achishena, yeah, we bring the geula. That brings with it a special siyata d'shmaya, will be zoicha to Yeshaya. If we're just going to sit back and be lazy and let things happen by itself, it'll be a lower level. You have this by Ezra. Ezra, it could have been greater than Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the people weren't interested. They weren't interested. So what happened? Nothing. It was just, you know, siyata d'shmaya. Things went okay. They were successful. But it wasn't what it could have been. You can say that Yeshaya and Michal together are showing us it's in your hands. What kind of Achris Hayamim do you want? You choose. You make the decision. You want a Yeshaya or you want a Michal? Or you can also say that, like we started with, Yeshaya saw a perfect world. So when he gives over a prophecy, it's not just a prophecy, it's a prayer. He can fix it because he knew what it was like before it was broken. Only Yeshai is able to go and say what he said. Micha, he didn't see a perfect world. Micha was born into a broken world. So if it's broken, I don't even know what it was like. I don't even know what it was like. Rais always says, the minor prophets, they called this sefer called the minor prophets. So he says, there's no such thing as a minor prophet. They're great prophets, it's just that their prophecy was short, so therefore it's called minor. But Yishlom, not everyone agrees that. They're to a degree, they're minor prophets. Because they lived, Yeshaya was a greater prophet. It's a fact. Yeshaya lived early. Yeshaya saw a lot more. He saw a perfect world. He saw the world before Uzziah messed it up, before he was corrupt. He knows what a perfect world is. Therefore, Zeh Lu'uma Zeh, I saw the perfect world. I'm going to bring the world back to perfection with a higher level of prophecy. Micha is a minor prophet. He didn't see a perfect world. He was born into a world that was broken. A broken world, so I can only fix what I know. It's a lower level of prophecy to fix what he can fix. And Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. In our lives, there are things that we can do, and there are things that are, there are many different dimensions. But it's clear as day. These two prophecies are worlds apart. They're not the same. Ein edoymer to the goyim bing noharu, to the Ami. Ein edoymer to the Har Hashem Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the Har Hashem Ve'el Beis Elokei Yaakov. Ein edoymer that at the end of the day, Beis Yaakov L'chuvin Elcha B'ar Hashem, verse, Ish B'Shem Elohav. Ein edoymer nochon yihyeh, verse, yihyeh. Beis Hashem, yihyeh, there's a lot more to do. They're very, very different worlds. They're very different people. Yeshaya is only Yerushalayim and Yehuda. Micha's dealing with problems. He's dealing with ugliness. He's dealing with machlekes.
People name children Yeshaya, and you don't hear too many people that Micha.
Okay, whatever. It's they are a product of their time. They are a product of who they are speaking to. Micha is dealing with ugliness. He's dealing with pride. He's dealing with machlekes. Yeshaya is not even dealing. Yeshaya is dealing with Yehuda Yerushalayim. He's dealing with Ethiopia. He's dealing with a whole different level. And Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We only appreciate Yeshaya when you contrast it with Micha. You only can appreciate the psukim in Micha when you contrast it with the psukim of Yeshaya.
That's why Shiva the Nechemta is from Yeshaya and Shabbat Shuvah you read from Micha.
And Shabbat Shuvah, ooh, like practical. become practical. Okay, so hopefully we've accomplished something over here to gain an appreciation. Two very different prophecies. It's very misleading. You think it's all the same. Worlds apart. All right, we're over time, but it was...